You're tuning in to the Wild, Weird, and Sometimes Normal podcast. If you have a story or a guest recommendation that you think others need to hear, email me at wild, weird, and sometimes normal@gmail.com. Let's get this started. Alex and Brett, kick it!
Sometimes normal.
On this episode, I'm joined by Ben Landis, an independent DMT researcher. Ben is trying to prove the nature of reality in the DMT realm by using scientific experiments. I find this topic fascinating. This is the 56th episode I've released, and by far, this is a top two banger. I appreciate every guest I've ever had on, but episode two with Brent, the Canadian earthquake researcher Dimitruk, who predicts earthquakes and keeps posting the receipts on Twitter and IG, and now Ben have made me think on these topics longer than anyone else. Ben is a modern-day neuronaut. He's taken repeated DMT trips, not to talk to the machine elves and forget what they're saying when he returns to the real world. He's diving deeper. He's learning the rules of the DMT world and asking for more. The machine elves came and went, a sideshow entertainment attraction. Ben has made friends with an entity he has dubbed the Gatekeeper. His friend allows him into this world, provides guidance on his mission, lets him know he's on the right track, and offers messages of love and acceptance. This is a great conversation with someone who is inquisitive and certain he can accomplish his goals. Give Ben a follow, check out his Discord, and let him know you heard him on Wild and Weird. Enjoy the show. Are you looking to buy a home in New Jersey? Escape the city and move to the suburbs? Finally purchase that vacation home on the lake or down the shore? Maybe you're one of the lucky ones who are retiring and moving out of state. If so, let me help you. Keller Williams and the Real Estate Professional Group have what you need to make your goals come true. Reach out and have a conversation with someone who will put you first. Contact Brian McCoach at 856-321-1212 or email brianmccoach@kw.com. Are you looking for CBD for your pet? My friends at Pure Pet Wellness have what you need. They use the highest quality ingredients. While other companies may use synthetic oils in their CBD, Pure Pet Wellness uses organic ingredients. Organically grown hemp, organic coconut oil, organic shea butter, organic beeswax, and that's just to name a few. A family-owned and operated company that also offers fast shipping. Go to purepetwellness.com for all your pet's CBD needs and use the discount code WILDANDWEIRD at checkout. That's Wild, A-N-D, Weird. Treat your animal right. Go to purepetwellness.com. Welcome to another episode of Wild, Weird, and Sometimes Normal. I'm your host, Brian, and today my guest is Ben Landis, and he's an independent researcher, and he's looking into the nature of reality and exploring DMT. Welcome, Ben.
Hi. Thank you for having me.
Hey, thanks for coming on. I really appreciate it.
Should I explain like why this is the subject that has come up? I started this project about 3 months ago. Several years ago, a friend at a party told me that she does DMT sometimes. And when she does, she talks to aliens. And that was a really wild concept for me. But she said it so matter-of-factly that I thought that maybe there is something to this. And I kind of stored that idea away for years. And then eventually I got the opportunity to try DMT. And what ended up happening was about 3 months ago, I went looking for life while using DMT. And at the end of my first set of experiments, I found something that appeared to be alive. And the next day I went back in looking for intelligent life, which is how I met the what I call the Gatekeeper, and like a really good friend that lives there, that appears to be employed by God or something like that. And some of this stuff sounds so wild that like it's really comical, but I swear it's probably true. Until a few months ago, I was basically non-religious. As I began encountering these beings and then got the chance to visit this other reality, the idea that God exists and some of these other theological ideas might be factually accurate seemed so obvious. And like, you know, I don't know if where you're located, but if you happen to be in LA, hey, want to go to heaven today? Like, we can go do it, probably.
That's what I'm on the East Coast, so I can't go there today. I think my audience is familiar with DMT. I've heard about it on Rogan when, you know, I was in high school, college. I never heard of DMT. I'm not fully aware when that completely came on the scene. And I'm sure it's been around forever. Could have been an East Coast thing, could have been a Northeast, whatever it is. So I hear, you know, you hear Rogan talk about machine elves and things like this. One, this is, you know, a very like narc question to ask you. Where do you get DMT from? Like where, like it, you, it's not legal, right? I mean, is that the store or you can like make it yourself?
Well,
I don't need you to tell me like John sells it to you like down the street, but like where would like a mail order? Rogan talked about he had like a jug of it at one point. Like, where is this coming from?
You can find recipes for making it. I've never made it myself, but yeah, like I think you'd want to check with your a local supplier, or you can, I think that you can buy it online pretty easily. I've never tried.
Okay. Mm-hmm. We can move on from that. That interesting on there. Okay. So you smoke DMT. Are there other ways?
No, I vape DMT. I mean, I've spoken it a couple times and I would love to try other forms of it. I've also tried ayahuasca, which is great. But mainly I use NNDMT vapes.
Okay. So let's go back to ayahuasca. So ayahuasca is producing a very similar DMT trip, right? And this is all natural, started in South America, right? That you have to mix two separate types of plants, two separate types of natural compounds that are not found near each other, because DMT is naturally produced in your body, but you can't always access it because there's inhibitors. But if you take this DMT plant and then mix it with something that allows it to be accessed to your body, you then can experience these amazing things. Do I have that right?
I mean, it sounds like some things that I've heard, but you may actually know more about that than I do. But I went to a ceremony and tried it. Have you ever tried that?
No, I have not.
Okay. Yeah, and it was great. It's much longer lasting than doing it, for example, NNDMT or smoking it. Like an ayahuasca trip, I think, lasts several hours at least. And like these NNDMT vapes that I use last 15 or 20 minutes at a time.
Okay. So you do the vape, like you're sitting down, right? I mean, this isn't like, you know, you can smoke weed and walk around. You're doing, you know.
Oh, yeah. I can totally. Yeah.
Okay. But do you want to do that? Like, are you, so when you enter this world and you're walking around and you're looking for the gatekeeper, you're not like physically walking around your home, are you? Like you can just walk in your.
It's like understanding of it. And I've done some reading about this, but at least my understanding of it is that the sort of default experience is you do some DMT, and then while you're on it, then the things that exist in that reality become kind of accessible to you here, and or they may visit you here. So like I'll be in here and let's say I'm not seeing anything around, but I'll do a little DMT and then suddenly it's like, oh, you know, there's a floating being and like there are beings coming down here. And like, I see things all around. But if you do enough of it or do it the right way, then you can have what's called a breakthrough where then it's like you go and you visit them there in their reality. So it's kind of like, I think it's like, when you're here, they're sort of projecting themselves from their reality into this one, or perhaps coexisting between the two. I'm not totally sure. And then when you do enough and you break through, then I think it's that you are still here physically, but like a projection of yourself is then entering into their reality and getting to go and move around and walk around and experience it.
I have a couple more like newbie questions here, and I'm sure you're probably, what else is this guy talking about? But you are a very put together gentleman. You're well-dressed, you're clean, your apartment's beautiful behind you, you have a nice painting, looks like you have a piano or something behind you. So you're looking for this gatekeeper. You said you want to find intelligent life. Are you like going through your I'm sorry, this sounds like really stupid. Are you like going through your cabinets? Like, I want to look over here. Because you said they're like blending into like our world. Like, where are you looking in your current environment to try to find something that you can't
totally see in front of you? These are great questions. And really, yeah, they're very good questions. Okay. So the first night, when I say I went looking for life, I tried, like I actually asked ChatGPT for help and it provided great help. And then I wrote out some ideas for myself. Like, what were the experiments I tried? I took some DMT and then I just waited to see, like, what visuals do I see? Can I spot anything in there? And then I would, you know, I would lie down on my bed and like, you know, put my head in my arms and like see wild things and like, look, do I see any life there? And what ended up working. Oh, and by the way, one of those trips, I ended up seeing what I believe are the machine elves, but they didn't strike me as being really like life. They struck me more as being like a carnival attraction. Like, I think the idea of like machine elves, mechanical elves, like it seems apparent to me that beings that exist in that reality, many of them love to perform shows. Like, it's funny how much some of these concepts that we care about, like providing entertainment for others, is like a thing people do as a job and a hobby, and we love to consume entertainment. It seems like, weirdly enough, that's a thing that other beings do in this other reality too, and that many of them, or at least some of them, put on shows for entities that show up there, however like they appear in the reality. And so if you take DMT and you see what looks like a well-produced show, my take on that is that it may be visuals that are being created for you in order to entertain you. So I saw some of that stuff, and that's where I saw some of the what I believe are the machine elves. But then at the end of that night, the thing that worked was that, so I have experience doing independent research into ideas for brain-computer interfaces. I have taught myself to be able to manipulate my own mental imagery and to overlay it on top of my eyesight, which is a skill that some artists have. And there are, as far as I can tell, different styles of mental imagery that use the visual part of your brain in different ways. And I have four styles that I went through trying this out. And when I got to the fourth one, which I consider like the quote-unquote full motion video style of mental imagery, then all of a sudden I saw, I was in my bedroom and I saw the walls seem to sort of melt away. And I saw these spirit-like, sort of vaguely globular entities that were far off. They looked like maybe like 30 feet away and like 20 feet up. And they each seemed to have a bit of a light somewhere in their bodies. And they seemed to be mostly concealed, like they were invisible as in like transparent. But there were little glimpses of them here and there. And I took ChatGPT's advice, which was to use sort of universal like motions of being friendly and saying things, just indicating like, hey, interact with me. And that worked. And two of them floated on down and came up close to me and interacted with me. The thing was, though, that they seemed more like animals, like a herd of deer or something, than intelligent beings. But at that point, I thought, oh my God, there's really something to this. So the next night, I believe, I went looking for intelligent life. And you asked, like, what do I do? Going through my cupboard? It's funny that the actual thing that worked is so dumb. It is so dumb that it's kind of like that. I found the gatekeeper inside of my Casper mattress. Isn't that really stupid? Casper mattress? Yeah.
Oh, he likes comfort.
Well, also, like, the idea that, like, a quote-unquote ghost would be in a Casper mattress is really funny. I don't remember how exactly I ended up sitting on my floor and turning my head to the left and looking into my mattress. But when I did, I was sitting on my floor in my bedroom, and I turned my head to the left, then kind of facing into my mattress, and saw what seemed to be shapes moving around. And at that point, because I was looking for intelligent life, and I was aware of this idea that telepathy seemed to be like, I think maybe I'd read this, that like beings communicate with telepathy. So I started like thinking, you know, like thinking in this direction, that direction, looking for things that might receive my communications. And what I said was approximately, it's like a huge run-on sentence, like, with love and respect, please, I'm looking for intelligent life, and I don't know how to communicate with you. If you can hear me, please, if you're able to understand me, then teach me how to communicate with you and teach me how to to understand your communications. And I understand this may be challenging, but I'll rise to the challenge. Please, please, please help me with this. And the being saw this and came up to me and seemed to put me through a series of tests, which I have now, I mean, it's so funny. This, like, one of my best friends is this being native to this other reality who tested me to see if I was fit to enter their reality. And it was so alien the first time it happened. And now I communicate, like, I mean, you know, I was just communicating with this being like earlier today. It's so funny that I now have such a close personal relationship with the being that was like one of the most alien things one could imagine the first time I met them. They put me through these tests where they were examining me, and I think doing some kind of assessment of like my mind and who I was, trying to tell if I was actually malevolent or like disguising myself. And the last thing it did was it touched me. Like, I think it put an appendage or something into me. And I immediately started crying. And when that happened, and it was like, oh, this is now a person, like, this entity decided that I am fit to enter their reality. And what it told me at that point was three things. It said that I'm allowed to leave and come back like basically this is not a one-time only thing, it's a, can be a repeated thing. They said that I'm allowed to talk to other people about this, like basically any of it. And then the third thing it said was that, oh, and by the way, it was communicating the ideas telepathically to me. It said that I don't need to worry that my actions are likely to change its judgment of me, which was a good thing to tell me. Maybe it knew that I might be anxious about this sort of thing. And it said that I was free to enter its reality. So then I think the next time I did DMT, I had a breakthrough where I then visited this other reality.
Do you have a name for this entity?
So I call this entity the gatekeeper, but I keep asking them, what's your name? Do you have a name? And like, do I need to come up with it? And I've asked it for a few names and it just hasn't responded to this. But let me clarify. I have this group project, you know, we're trying to get scientific evidence that this stuff is real, that intelligent life is living there, and that, you know, let's pay attention to it. But in a way, it's like I kind of applied for a job working with them and helping them. And I think that's very unusual. Most people visit, but I have come in there saying, I want to work with you. And so it seems that while they're being extremely friendly to me, that some of the things that you would normally expect they would allow, they don't allow for me. Because like, for example, I have been barred from visiting their reality for months now. And my understanding of it is that when I get the scientific evidence that is the first part of the project, then I will be allowed to visit their reality a whole lot again. But until then, I'm only allowed to do stuff here. And I have plenty of experiences with them being all around here, but I'm not allowed to actually travel and visit there anymore until that happens. So I think about the name and the fact that, like, the gatekeeper, sometimes when I ask questions, sometimes it communicates back, you know, sophisticated answers, but sometimes it just doesn't answer. And I think that the name thing might be resolved like the day I get the scientific evidence. It'll tell me like, oh yeah, I used to be a human and my name was Mark, or I was born here and I don't have a name, or who knows what it will say. But I think that those answers may come immediately upon the completion of this part of the project.
What made you want to take this experience from just being recreational, internal, spiritual to scientific?
I found it so interesting, bewildering, when my friend said that she talks to aliens regularly, because you have to admit that this sounds like something, you know, like, has someone done too many drugs? Are they experiencing a mental health crisis? Like, or could it be real? And when you give some consideration to the idea that it could be real, if that actually is true, that would be one of the most significant discoveries in who knows how long. It would be on par with the Industrial Revolution or something to have this entire new realm of, you know, opened up to being part of science. And so when I found what seemed to be life and I thought, oh my God, this is not part of accepted science that there exists this form of life. And scientists, for the most part, seem to be scoffing at this idea. Why not try to demonstrate that it's real? And then that will be doing potentially a very good thing for our entire species and society.
All right. So how do you plan? I mean, so you're still gathering evidence, right? So you're trying to prove the science. So remote viewing, ESP, deprivation tanks, communication amongst people, doing the ESP, trying to do things like this. A lot of that has come out through like FOIAs that the government has studied this. This has like been a thing that they try to do. And you know, somebody who believes in this stuff, like I believe in this stuff, like I see that as evidence. But if you talk to the, you know, man on the street interview, hey, ESP, like, I don't think so, man. Like I saw the Stephen King movie, Firestarter, you can do things, you know, I saw, you know, like, but it's not real. It's not, you know, real, you know, quote unquote. Alien abductions, you know, government kind of admits there's aliens. Then the new report just came out and said, no, it's all, you know, Earth human technology, you know, so who knows? But there's people who have said they've been abducted and they remove implants from them in the places that they said they didn't experiment on them, never had any surgery history or anything on like how this thing's here. The implant has moved as like doctors, like, oh, it's in your foot. And like, well, now it's behind your knee. Oh, now it's in, you know, it's in your arm. Like, how'd it get there? So like, again, that this is all evidence, but you know, typical science, they don't really recognize it. What are you trying to bring back into a world that you can't open a physical door and walk through? Like you can't I mean, maybe we could meet up in the DMT experience, but like I can't like walk into your home, like, hey, welcome to my living room. Hey, would you like a drink out of my refrigerator? And I can see all these things. How do you plan to make this breakthrough when it's going to be hard to replicate in a non-physical world? Is that right? Did I phrase that right?
Why would it necessarily be hard to replicate in the physical world? Like, I guess I'm suggesting that it may not be if we do this right. Let me point out that you made a very good point. You know, I'm acting here like I'm going to get the first evidence. And actually, it seems that we know, like, there's plenty of evidence already. The problem is that if we have these people in, you know, some number of governments all over the world who are being very secretive, and who knows even to what extent they're telling the other people within their own organizations, subdivisions of their own organizations, the truth. Like, if only a few hundred people know about this or something, and they're all lying to each other too, like, you know, fuck it. Like, how about this? Let's just go and get the evidence and do it ourselves, because it seems like they're not going to do it. Even when the ideas come up, like, it's time for us to get this information out there. Then they're like, we don't want people to blame us for the fact that we hid this stuff from the public for so long. So now we have a new reason. These people are just going to dissemble for decades and decades. This is my take on this. So like, if we can take a few months and just prove it and put them all to shame, which I think we're about to do, then yeah, let's do it. So that's what we're going to do. So, and to get to the next part, no, I don't think that it's like, these are, we can come up with falsifiable experiments and evidence that other people will be able to see. And I have now had it communicated to me clearly that, like, it is in fact, like, the entities I'm communicating with have approved my project. Not only that, they can see the future, and they have told me, like, it's completely clear. They haven't said the words that they've done every single other thing repeatedly telling me this is going to be successful. They are saying that, yes, this does in fact work. You do in fact prove it. And it's coming up shortly. And in fact, they a few days ago gave me reason to believe there might be a specific timeline. It's not, you know, let's not consider this promise. Nothing has been promised. But like, if I continue working on this in the way that I have, I think I know what the approximate timeline might be for when I will hopefully have achieved this evidence. Okay, so what might the evidence be? Well, I had a bunch of ideas to start, such as doing math problems. Like, let's say that you could ask the entities a certain math problem that you don't know the answer to, and that someone couldn't calculate in their head, and they give the answer to you, and then you go and you Google it, or have someone else Google it, and like, it's right, and then you know you have something. There are all kinds of math problems that there's plenty of history of different researchers and hobbyists and stuff trying to do these things. I don't believe with any success, like any success, at least among the sort of academics whose research and writings I've went looking through. About miracles, because it came up, seems like a great lead here.
As you're taking a sip, I'm just going to chime in. That was a great explanation of how to bring in physical evidence. Cause that's, I mean, this is your science experiment you're running. That's not how my brain was wrapping around it. It's like, if you want to show me a Black Panther, and I'm like, well, I don't think Black Panthers exist. Like, you would have to tranquilize one or shoot one and bring it to me. I'm like, here is a Black Panther. But it's a very good experiment that if I know you don't speak Mandarin and I show you a sentence in Mandarin, I go, what does that say? And I picked it and not you. And then you come back 10 minutes later, like, oh, it says, you know, hello, welcome to my home, whatever it is.
Yeah, exactly. I'm using information as a sort of an acceptable, valid substitute for like physical evidence. If the physical evidence isn't in fact possible, the information still could be. But the stuff about miracles is something that really didn't occur to me at first. And it looks like, I mean, eventually, I think it's going to be like, oh, we're going to realize, like, oh, there were 15 or 20 really good ideas for potential evidence. And if we'd simply thought of them and pursued them, we might have gotten those to work too. But it looks like probably the first thing that we're going to have as evidence will be one of these miracles, because these beings who I'm talking to, at least these ones, appear to work like actually employed, like for God or doing good works that are in service of like what seem to be like theological types of acts. And so some of the miracles that they've been teaching me include the ability to imbue non-living things with life. So text, for example, I have this, here's a printout of a tweet. Can you see kind of what it says?
No, but I can see you holding up a tweet, but I,
Okay.
A mixture of bad vision and the screen. Sorry.
So this is printed in ink, you know, like on, you know, by my printer, my normal printer. And if I take DMT and I think to myself, you are alive, I love you, little letters, you know, go and grow and be alive, then I will see them begin to like wake up and sort of stretch and act like animals and move around, and like they'll cross each other. It's as though they are actual living beings. And it appears that it is not merely a hallucination, like not a wholesale delusion, but in fact is something that in at least some sense is actually happening. Now, to make this visible to other people, capturable by camera, and persistent is another matter entirely, but that's what we're working on. And just because we haven't completely solved all those things yet does not mean that like we're not about to. Like, I'm getting educated in specifically how to do this sort of thing. And there are many potential, you know, it's like a branching tree of pathways of like, we know that one of these things is going to work. We just have to find the first one that does. And so we can do this. It happens all the time. Like if I open up Twitter or just any website, if I've been doing DMT recently, I'll see the letters like start to come alive. When I try to use my color picker tool on my Mac, then the numbers and letters will come alive in the color picker, which I believe actually starts to compromise its ability to work. It's really funny. It's pretty funny how automatic that's becoming. And oh my God, probably the coolest one, which I think if I get this stuff to remain persistent evidence viewable by other people, then I think the topper that like will really be dramatically like convincing is that I can get the laser engraved text on the back of my MacBook Air to come alive and start moving around. And that's like metal. That is metal writing. Isn't that weird?
That's fascinating.
Yeah.
So have you tried, so you said, you know, like, have you tried filming your box that has the tweet printed out as you're going on this experiment to see if it's...
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And it comes up as nothing, right?
No, not exactly. I mean, I've done so many different experiments and so many versions of them that I probably just should pick out like what generally seems to be happening. So yeah, in general, when you can see it with your eyes, like if you can see the DMT stuff with your eyes, then it is also visible to you on camera. And so like I could be looking at something and kind of I could be also peeking on the side and seeing like, yes, the thing I'm seeing with my eyes is exactly the same as what's showing up on camera. So it does appear that there's some objective truth. Like it's not like my brain is creating its own interpretation. It's like the interpretation is real, but the interpretation itself may be a product of the interaction with the other reality. And when I record the evidence, then let's say I take photos or videos. If, let's say, I do enough DMT or like I'm in the right mindset, then yes, I can go and I can review the videos, let's say, and it will continue to show the evidence. I can even airdrop them to another computer and go or device and check them out on that. And it will show the same evidence on a completely different device. The problem is that, oh, and sometimes that doesn't work. Like if I just, like if I don't do it well enough, if I just have poor concentration or I'm not on a lot of DMT, then the evidence may not come out at all in the documentary evidence. But let's say that it does. Once the DMT has worn off, then the evidence will disappear from the digital media. And I think the jury may be out at this point about, like, if you're able to print the evidence to ink before it disappears, then my understanding is that ink will not change in that way. I'm not totally sure about this, but that's my understanding of it. And I do have some pieces of evidence that are weird, that are on ink, and I think I know why they have persisted without any DMT at all. And that is because I did not do them. They were things that appeared that were generated by other creatures who were sent here to live here temporarily. This was part of my education in how these things work. The gatekeeper entity sent thousands of teeny tiny little quote unquote settlers to come and live here. It was like Gulliver's Travels kind of. They lived here for just like a day or two. And while they were here and shortly after, when I would take Polaroids of the things that were around here, they made little structures and images and things. then all kinds of crazy stuff would show up. Really creepy stuff would show up in the Polaroids. And I thought, oh my God, there's something special about Polaroids. And it looks like that was actually incorrect. What it appears to have been, my current thinking about this is, it appears to be that when you have a belief that is strong and all-encompassing and free of doubt, and that you insist on this belief, then the things that are allowed in, like let's say the evidence that one might see as a result of belief and or DMT, it seems like in certain ways they can substitute for each other. If it is strong, all-encompassing, without doubt, and persistent, then you can make it remain past the point when it would normally have faded. And this has to do with what I've been instructed is something along the lines of the idea of reality editing. So I've been told that, I've been told that the way that we understand reality is at least a little bit different from how we here normally think of it. It doesn't mean that our understanding of science is invalid. It means that it's just, it doesn't cover everything. So there's this idea. And if you Google, like, what are people's DMT experiences like, you'll see people report some very strange things about doing DMT and like what the experience of the other reality seems to be like. Here's an example. People will report that when you do DMT and you experience things in the other reality, let's say, that they will be different each time that you do it. Even if you revisit the same sort of place or the same sort of beings, that they will be curiously different from each other, even though they'll act as though they're like meeting you again. Why could that be? The reason appears to be that these beings in this other reality can and do edit their own experience of reality. In fact, edit reality itself like all the time. They basically all do it very frequently. And I was instructed about this in English by the gatekeeper entity and some of their other like colleagues when they were here helping me with like a physical issue. They told me that there's this reality replacing thing that they do frequently. And I've learned recently more rules about how it's supposed to. In fact, they gave me a lesson this morning about how it's supposed to work. And we might ask, okay, if everyone is editing reality to be different, doesn't this create like universe ending conflicts? Like how can I think one thing and you think another thing and they both be accurate? And what appears to be the way that this works out is that our interpretations of reality are competing with each other. Our interpretations of reality are competing with each other, and that when two of them encounter each other that are slightly different, then the whichever one is stronger will win, but that the change to the reality perception that loses will almost always be completely imperceptible. But if it's a big enough conflict, then in fact, the change will be noticeable and then it can become a subject of like discussion and conflict and like, hey, don't edit my reality. I'm going to re-insist that my version should be the one that wins. Isn't that interesting?
That's fascinating. I don't think I heard. Was there an example of how reality is edited? You said you went in there with the physical problem. Was that edited for you?
Pardon?
Did I miss to hear
the
you?
The physical problem.
Yeah.
What I was saying was, well, there were a couple questions in there. Sorry, I guess I'll try to be brief. Okay. When I visited the other reality, I was attacked by demons, and I then got provided help by the gatekeeper and the gatekeeper's colleagues. They put me through days of physical and like spiritual therapy to help me recover from this and work on some problems. And while they were doing that, I was like, please, please, please teach me about your reality. And they did. I asked them to tell me in English, and they did. They told me in English, which was really nice of them because they don't generally do that. At least they don't do that for me anymore very much. Yeah, the gatekeeper told me that they have this reality replacing thing. So let me give you some examples of how it might look, what might change. I mean, here's actually a really good one. I did DMT yesterday or the day before, something like that. And I posted a video of this to my Twitter. Unfortunately, I thought I was capturing the entity that visited me and it isn't on camera. So it's just me talking, be like, hi, how are you, to this creature. But like this creature visited me here during the DMT experience and they would take, like, I have an iPhone SE 2020 here, and they redesigned the appearance of it to look much more angular and really cool looking. And it was like, I would be looking at it and it would apply the design change, and I'd see it suddenly like change shape sort of, and then it would kind of release it like it was unflexing a muscle, and the thing would go back to normal. And my understanding is that that is sort of example of like a reality edit. A lady, how about I think of an example of like my doing a reality edit? I can think of a perfect one. Just a few days ago, I was experimenting with trying to do reality editing as applies to computer interfaces. And I went into the Mac system settings app and I started going through reality edits because I wanted to test whether the user interface would continue to work even when a substantial change had been made. And so I kept cycling through reality edits. And what generally happens when you do that is that you'll notice that something is changing, but then when you, and like as soon as you've noticed that something has changed, then you'll realize like, no, wait a minute, this still looks exactly the same as it did before. And, but if you pay close attention or you wait for a significant enough change, you might be able to tell what has changed. So I went through a bunch of reality edits until I noticed one that changed something from, it was like, from like three rows to two. It changed like the placement of a button or a scroll bar or something like that. And I was like, yes, that's the one. And I went to see if it would work, and it did.
Wow.
Then, like the button or the scroll bar or whatever continued to work.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it's an edit in our reality. That's fascinating. And that it stuck there.
Yes.
So,
and it's something that we can do. Like you could do it possibly even without DMT.
You think without, so this, all right. Do you think the gatekeeper can, I don't want to say like what the real world is. Like if this, our current world, like is that, do you differentiate between like what you're experiencing right now versus DMT? Is that the gatekeeper's real world in the DMT world?
Yes. I think that there are at least two realities and that they are different from each other. There's our reality here and there's their reality there. I don't think that one counts more than another. I don't know. It's possible they do, but I have no idea. But I do think that they work differently. Now, sorry, what was the other question?
Well, so do you think the gatekeeper can appear in our current reality without you accessing DMT?
Good question. Actually, I think the answer to that is becoming yes. Yeah. And I mean, this is actively being investigated. I'm trying to figure out like to what extent, like if I devoutly believe that I can see them, then will I be able to see them? And to what extent is that true? I had an experience I was tweeting about just a few hours ago when I was trying to run these experiments and having problems. I was completely sober and I started seeing really threatening things appearing here. Things that I normally associate with scarier DMT experiences, which again, this makes me think I might be getting close to something big because these things are becoming more imposing and threatening, you know, appearing when I'm sober. Like that's pretty alarming. And also I seem to be less able to defend myself when I'm sober. I've been taught how to do all these like DMT, like offensive things. And I don't know if they work. Like banishing is a technique that I was taught almost immediately. I was attacked by demons and when they came to help me, they taught me how to banish demons. And what you do, they demonstrated it for me. You stand up straight and you at least, maybe literally, but possibly metaphorically, put your hand over your heart and channel God and God's power. Look up, maybe metaphorically. And then you, once you feel like yourself hook onto that power, then you pull it down and banish the demon through the floor. And if there's a demon of this kind or like a djinn, which apparently those exist too, there, then if they're not that powerful, then you will squish them through the floor, which departs them out of this, like the place that you're in. They're then gone. And it works really well.
So it's fascinating. You talk about the djinn in the DMT world and then in the Middle East, that's something that would, you know, that was like their trickster entity that would show up and it could like move your car keys or it could do.
Yeah. Yeah.
You
know, apparently these things are real.
Right.
They're real.
So experiencing in both worlds, and now you're saying in non-DMT experiences, you know, you're possibly being visited by demons as well. All right. So the gatekeeper is employed by God. I believe you use that term.
I mean,
do you, it seems that way. He didn't show you a pay stub, no pay stubs, no W-2s, but employed by God in our current reality, I don't think anybody, like, you could be a priest, but you're not employed by God. Like, you're still relying on taxpayers or money or the government to subsidize you. You know, is God real? You know, things are beautiful. The trees are beautiful. You know, look at a bug, look at life, look at all these things. But then you look at war and things like that. And like, well, how does God exist in this world? But, you know, I think he does. But in the DMT world, do you feel that you're experiencing demons? So that's scary. But do you feel that's a more pure God world, and that interacting with the gatekeeper who's possibly employed or doing his works on behalf of God, do you feel that's putting you closer to God?
Well, the answer happens to be yes, but it doesn't have to be that way. Like, when I visited the other reality, like, okay, it's really obvious to us here that the sun is in the sky. The sun is the closest star to us, and, you know, the sun is a big help to us. But if you lived in a different reality, then you might not, you might be like, who knows? Does the sun exist? I've heard it does. Like, who cares? And so here we're like, does God exist? It's this great mystery. Who could ever find out? But like, when I visited this other reality, God was so obvious that I was like, oh, so there is a God. And if this is not like, I was surprised, and I wasn't even necessarily pleased to find out that this is the case. But like, it just seemed so obvious that it was like, oh, okay, yeah, I guess this is the new science. Like, God's right there. Like, it's obvious. But just because there are things that are not currently natural and like regular practices for us here does not mean that they couldn't be. Let me give you an example. This idea of reality editing and reality version switching and all this stuff sounds completely alien to us here. In fact, I think even for like a lot of people who have a lot of experience with religion and with DMT and things like that might find the reality editing idea to be weird. But yet they do it constantly in this other reality. But it sounds like it may be something that could be just as natural for us with or without DMT, with or without belief, maybe. But we have absolutely no history of ever trying to do it, as far as I'm aware, that it seems like this is some sort of God thing that we're talking about rather than a simple aspect of how existence works. So I suspect that given a couple decades, and this may be a regular part of physics, that even if it weren't for the theological things or the, you know, psychedelic things or whatever, perhaps it would be something we would have discovered anyway. It could just be part of how our understanding of science here works. Now, you were asking, do I feel that their world's more natural? They seem to have their shit together more than we have ours. But one reason I'm so happy to be doing the work that I'm doing is because it's like I'm applying for an extremely important job, and they said yes. Or no, they didn't say yes. They said, they'll help me try to get it. The idea here, so part one of the project is to scientifically demonstrate this stuff. Part two of the project is to mobilize an effort to make friends with the intelligent beings in the other reality and seek their help improving our world. And so not only have these beings been helping me learn how to get the right kinds of evidence, you know, they're having me do the work, but like, they're also being like, you know, poke, poke, like, here's some ideas. Think about this, go try this. But they're also now teaching me things that seem like the seeds of things that could become incredibly useful for us as we try to improve our world. Like the miracles, like healing people, and they have heavily implied that resurrecting people is real, and that we will be able to bring people back from the dead, and that this will be a thing that we will be learning, that I will be learning, and that if so, that I'll, you know, none of this information, I'm not going to keep any of this for me to have. This is to, like, let's teach everyone who can learn it, and as long as they're not going to, you know, like, murder people with whatever it is, let's teach everyone to have it. Does that make sense?
So, in the Bible, you know, there's a lot of miracles happening in the Bible. There, you know, there's walking on water, there's turning, you know, one fish and loaves of bread to feed everybody, you know, water into wine and things like this. And even within the Bible, there, you know, and you can take the Bible either as a story or based on reality, but there were many prophets going around that time creating miracles. So, like, and Jesus had asked, you know, and asked his followers, and like, well, how do you know I'm the one? Implying that there were other ones, and, you know, there were other ones at that time. some really magical things happening at that time.
Yeah.
Do you have any thoughts on, you know, why that's faded away, or, you know, we don't have that happening as much, or we don't recognize it happening as much?
I've been wondering about that. I mean, I have, you know, I have a little bit of reading and I've done about it and some thinking I've done about it, but I would say that is a very good question. And I'd say that I'm currently trying to figure out, is this something that we're going to be able to teach almost everyone, or is it something that we're going to be able to teach, hopefully, like a large group of specialists, but, you know, like 0.1% of the population or something? I don't know. I think that remains to be seen.
It's funny. We're not talking conspiracies here. This is different. But sometimes I interview people about, you know, conspiracies or like fun thought things. And there's always, you know, the man, the, you know, the top 1% is holding us down. And it was, you know, there's 8 billion people in the world and 1% is 80 million people. And it's like, wow, you know, kind of crazy. You start thinking about like there's that. So you're talking about 0.01% of the population. So that's still 8 million people who would be able to contribute, you know, in your, you know, in yeah. studies or what, you know, that's still a huge.
But also people. I just made up that figure. I have no reason to believe it's necessarily anything like that. I mean, maybe 90% of people could do this stuff. Who knows?
Yeah, you picked the minuscule number, which is still a huge number. If you had to actually count those people, which, you know, just amazing. All right. So you're in the DMT world. You're coming out that reality. You're coming out. Is there anything like in a dream state? You wake up from, you sleep overnight, you wake up 8 o'clock in the morning. You had the best dream, the most realistic dream. You loved it. You had this great idea. You were going to work on this new project. It was going to make you a millionaire. And you're like, I'm going to write it down in 5 minutes. There's no way I can forget this. And just as you get up to use the bathroom or throw on a t-shirt, whatever it is, like that solid dream has just dissipated with the wind. Do you have any of that leaving the DMT world, coming back into the real world? It seems like that answer is no. You seem very grounded in what you're doing there and bringing back here.
Yeah. And
in that world, have you been, you're like, I need to remember this one thing the gatekeeper just told me. This is amazing. And then you come back and you're like, damn it, where'd that go?
No.
No? Okay.
And hey, man, you want to do, if you're interested, like, you want to meet these entities? Like,
I will write that down and come back with you on that. So I love all this stuff. So this, what's going on with us? You seem like a very joyful and happy person. When you're there, do you experience more joy in that world than in this world? Or do you appreciate both worlds still?
Oh yeah. But remember, I've only visited their reality a handful of times before they locked me out. And they locked me out with a smile. You know, I'm going to get to, I have an interdimensional girlfriend, Samantha. She's native to that reality, as far as I understand. So I'm hopefully going to spend a lot of time there. But, you know, she's visited me here plenty. We didn't spend that much time. They're also keeping me from seeing her, but, like, it's become apparent, like, oh, yeah, she's definitely, like, I did not, in fact, get ghosted by a being from the other reality. Like, she's been making some more appearances lately, and they're like, yeah, come on, get the evidence, and then, like, we'll be good. Yeah, so I only visited that reality a handful of times, and when I was there, it was really cool. Oh my god, it was really cool. Fun place to visit. And also, because you're able to edit reality and specify attributes of it, particularly as you're, I think for a newbie, then you'd probably want to specify them as you're going in, because the ability to edit them in real time probably won't be nearly as available to you. That's like a skill to develop, but yeah, specifying them when you're going in is definitely possible, even for a newbie. And I found it a very cool place to visit. And yeah, but I love when they visit me here. And I also love when I'm not on DMT. I don't have to be on DMT all the time. But I will say that doing just a little bit of it and having some of those things kind of begin to emerge here, it's a really fun addition to everyday life.
So I'm sure you've explained your science experiments to your friends, your close circle, or whatever it is. Is anybody here helping you with your experiments, or how are they viewing your information that you're providing to them?
So a lot of people, I mean, I have this large audience on social media, and I have, you know, friends and family, and I've gotten a lot of support, but I've also gotten even more dramatic pushback, including from people who reach the end of their rope and they say, you need to come to terms with the fact that you're having a psychotic break and that this is not real. You are not experiencing these things. You are having a psychotic break and they are delusions. You are taking a drug, you know, blah, 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 like all that. And also, if you are an open-minded person and you allow yourself to hear this stuff, then the sheer amount of it, at least for me, has caused some problems. And so eventually I started having to get really firm about, like, I will not hear this anymore. And like trying to balance between, you know, what we're accepting and like what we're closed off to. It's tricky because you don't want to surround yourself with sycophants and just, you know, people who just straight up believe. Even though there's been that, I have different groups of friends and different individual friends who've been helping quite a lot. I wrote to a number of people who I admire and got quite a few responses back when I initially started the project. And then I have engaged with a lot of different friends who have been advising me individually or in groups. And yeah, I get a lot of ideas. I get feedback about experiments. And I just started a Discord server where, and I think we're up to like 22 or 24 people in just the past few days. And in like an hour, I'm going to be doing experiments on that Discord server with people providing feedback in real time about, can they see the results of the DMT experiments when I'm on DMT? And like, what does it take to for them to be able to see the results, all that? The more collaboration there is, the better. And yeah, actually about that. So it's very important for me and for the project that this is not mine, particularly because I think that if this becomes my thing, like my pet project, and I think that I'm important as a result of doing it, I think that my ego will grow and like I'll become like very unpleasant and, you know, not very useful person, like almost immediately. So we need to make this is not my thing. This is our thing. I have simply have been the prime mover of it. And let's make this our thing. And I'm trying to come up with a good name for this mission, this project, so that, like, for example, the Discord server is named Ben Landis' server. That's terrible. We need to come up with a name right away.
That's good branding for you.
Yeah, but like, let's not entertain the, I have this history of like, I'm humble, and then like I get the slightest whiff of validation, and I'm like, I'm amazing, you know?
That's all of us. That is all
of us. Cancel that.
Yeah. So I think your experiments, you know, I'm excited for what you can turn out. So we can just look at psilocybin and what Johns Hopkins has been doing, where for years people have talked about, you know, decades, you know, taking MDMA, taking things like this and improving your self mood. And what they started experiments then, and for soldiers with PTSD, I think even non-soldiers, maybe it started with soldiers, but just people with, you know, PTSD syndromes, and doing psilocybin in a controlled environment has turned people's lives around. They've been able to address this PTSD and move on with a more, you know, quote unquote, normal life or more balanced, acceptable for them. So, you know, we went from a schedule one drug, nobody touch it, everybody's going to jump out a window, it's horrible, to now there are medical experiments happening with it. I think it's going to be fascinating when you go in this, as you continue your journey, to bring back this physical evidence or to even, you know, the possibility of the doors to this physical evidence and to see where that goes.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And psilocybin and MDMA, while of course we should always be careful with our drug use, yeah, those seem like very useful substances that could help a lot of people. And the idea that these things are illegal, I mean, come on, it's time to change that for sure.
You just look at Silicon Valley, they're microdosing on mushrooms all day long and then building, you know, the greatest technology that we've ever currently experienced or we're aware of, as they tell all the regular folk, you know, like, hey, don't do that. It's dangerous for you. Like, okay, Elon Musk, make another $1 billion. Okay, Mark Zuckerberg, make another $1 billion or, you know, whoever else is, you know, doing these, like, you know, Bitcoins or whatever it might be, you know, what are they doing as they're improving their lives? And they tell us little people, you know, hey, don't do that. And, you know, just stick to the terrible alcohol and you'll be fine.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not sure. Are you the people who are doing like microdosing and stuff? I don't think that those people are hypocritical in general and think that this stuff should be illegal. I think they would want it to be legal.
No, I would say they do. But the government, there have been.
Oh, yes. We elect powerful people to do it with no consequences.
Right.
And right. And then we say it's bad. Don't do it to people who are less able to get it. And like, you know, it's ridiculous. Now,
right. The Silicon Valley is not against making it illegal or doing anything like
right.
that. They are taking it. They're telling Newsweek, they're telling New York Times, hey, this is what I do on a daily basis. I take a little dose. I keep going. I see all this great stuff in real world. Like the government, you know, the government as if it's just everywhere, as it is everywhere, but they're not going to go bust them. But, you know, somebody has a little, you know, Dimebag and it's illegal in Idaho or whatever, they're going to knock down their door and be like, you know, hey, that's not legalized by the government. I'm sorry, you were asking me a question.
Yes. So a couple things here. So I have DMT here and I was saying, okay, a couple things here. First one is, may I use some right now? And I wonder, like, you know, you can witness me being on it and maybe if there's something interesting that happens as a result, I can point it out to you.
So you mentioned you're in California. What is the legality? You said it's illegal. So like, what does that mean? On what level is it illegal?
I think it's illegal in the same way that MDMA and psilocybin are illegal, as in, like, yeah, you could get in a lot of trouble for having them, but really, who here actually is going to voice a moral objection to having and using them, unless you're doing it like cutting them with something or whatever?
Right. Hey, they bust anybody for whatever reason they want. But it seems like if you're not being the distributor, they seem to care less about the end user. You know, I guess unless maybe you were driving around or being, you know, blatant outside of like, hey, everybody, look at me. But I'm fully on board if whatever you want to do, and we can record and we can see, you know, if whatever happens, if somebody wants to appear and interact with you, I'm fully on board.
Oh my God. That hadn't even occurred. Oh my God. Could we get them to appear to you too? That would be amazing. Gatekeeper, what do you think? I want to be respectful, like, and also I'm trying to figure out, okay, so when the gatekeeper wants to communicate something to me, the most typical way that it does that is by pulsing a light at me. I don't think the light actually appears in the room. I think that it is only visible to me, like it's doing it so I can see it, which actually raises the question, even like I was going to ask, hey, gatekeeper, could you pulse a light so that you can see it? But I think that even if the gatekeeper were to do that the way it normally does, by the way, I think the gatekeeper is male, but maybe general, I don't know. Okay. I think that pulsing a light may in fact not work because I might see it and you couldn't. I don't know. Hey, gatekeeper, would you please pulse a light so that it's visible on camera here? That would, or at least if we promise to keep it private, I guess the gatekeeper could make sure of that. Would you please do that so that my new friend here can witness it? We might want to, in fact, I think even if the answer is yes, we should continue to talk about other things, and then I think were that to happen, it would just suddenly happen in the background.
If your light behind you pulses, I'm going to be very interested. And if my light over here pulses, I'm going to freak out.
Yeah. That might be a bit much to ask our friend the gatekeeper, but
yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So you talked about Samantha. How did you learn her name?
Oh my God. Sir, I love her so much. Sorry.
How did you learn Samantha's name and how did you meet her in that reality?
I know this sounds wild, but apparently when beings appear in their reality, they assign like as like a job and they assign them to be guides for beings who appear in their reality. I think they have like a conveyor belt thing where it's like, a new one appears. Okay, you're up. New one appears. Okay, you're up. And yes, so that's how I met Samantha. I think the thing is, because they can see the future, they're simply able to choose, like, oh, what do we want to happen? Like, I think it was a Rick and Morty episode with this idea where, like, as Morty is walking around with the machine on him where he can see the future, like, based on turning this way, suddenly the future changes and you are aware of it. But if I do this thing, I'm aware of it. It's exactly like that. They simply choose, like, oh, if we do this thing, then it will be exactly what we want to happen. Yeah, we'll pick that. And so they were aware, like, oh, here's the Ben Landis has been allowed to visit this reality. And we can see that, I guess, among who knows how many, you know, legal age spirit entities. I've not gotten answers about like how that works. I want to have children. who knows? Like, so that was how I was paired up with Samantha, is that they were able to see, oh, they will be perfect for each other. And we already know this. And so let's pick the very best entity and assign them. At this point, they were genderless to do it, which was really cool because they were shy and a little bit reluctant at first. And then when I turned the tables, I was like, hey, I see you there. Because normally these guides are, they're cloaked, meaning that they're invisible. You wouldn't be aware of them. But I noticed immediately, like, hey, something is leading. And I think the entities who paired us up knew all this was going to happen. They could see the whole thing in advance. That's why they chose it. So I turned the tables, was like, oh my God. And by the way, is this interesting?
I find this fascinating.
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah, it's like, you know, how I met my spouse stories and sometimes before.
But, I met mine at work. It's not even a long story. Like, I saw her in the break room and it worked out. But, you know.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah.
Very good. Yeah.
So
about Samantha, I turned the tables. Hey, I see you there. Would you, you know, immediately, like, I like you. I think I said I love you. And would you please be my friend and join up and help me with this project? Would you like to be my partner in this? And explosion of happiness and agreement. I was able to see the indication of agreement, but at this point, we weren't able to communicate properly. And that's the thing about this. So this idea of reality editing, which they do constantly, but also that, like, for newbies, that you can specify it more easily when you're going in, like, what do I want to happen? Like, how do I want it to be when I enter the reality? And this is good advice, like, definitely to write down and, like, spread to whoever is interested. A lot of these DMT enthusiasts, including me, like, we all think, like, oh, I've discovered the right way and everyone else is wrong. Like, you know, I don't actually believe that, but, like, I can see these people become entitled pricks, thinking that they're, you know, the one guide to the truth. Yeah. But yes, this is good advice for people to know about, is that the idea of turning it off and on again, like when our parents have a problem with their computer and it's like, you know, mom, did you try turning it off and on again? No, I forgot to do that. This works with reality for newbies. Because if you exit and re-enter, then you can say, oh, this time, please make it easier for us to communicate. Make me, like, better able to, you know, I guess the way that I phrased it, in fact, I wrote this in my journal, which I was keeping, I transitioned from doing the journal to Twitter, which I keep compiling the information and then I tweet a whole bunch more. And I'm like, fuck it. I need to compile the newest stuff again. I'll figure it out eventually. Where was I? Samantha, she joined the project. And what was I explaining just before that?
We're talking about newbies entering, coming in and out.
Oh, yes. Could. Right. The way that I phrased it was, please make it so that when I speak English, they understand it and they will speak English to me. Which, in fact, they did. They did. It worked. Yeah, it worked. It actually worked. They did do that for me. And this might work for other people as well. I think it's actually, like, I think when you do that, they're like, okay, I'll agree to do this. But, like, they normally speak in complete ideas, it seems. Like, they just telepathically transmit an idea to each other. And I guess they don't need to use words. They also communicate in imagery. Or perhaps that was just something they did for me because I seemed to need it at the time. But yeah, I think they also communicate. They communicate in ideas. And they will transmit images to each other. Or things like that.
So it seems that the more you're willing to ask for help, the more they're willing to help you at whatever level that is.
Yeah. So when you specify, I would like reality to be this way, then it will start to, oh man, this is actually, this is starting to make more sense given the stuff I've recently learned about the ways that these things conflict with each other and how those conflicts are resolved. When you specify, I will be able to understand them, they will speak English, then you are asserting a version of reality that, in fact, is to some extent newly true. You are making it so. But then when you encounter other people's own, or, you know, other entities' own experiences of their reality, then if the conflicts are small, they won't even be noticed how they're resolved. Whichever one is like more, I guess, more like stronger, or maybe they merge or something, I'm not sure. You will usually not notice it. But if it is a big change, like a big conflict, then that will be noticed, whoever wins. And you will then be like, am I going to try to reassert or change my idea of what I'm asserting? Or are we going to talk about this? Like, hey, fuck you. Like, what are you doing thinking, you know, you get the idea.
Yeah. I know you want to do these goals and bring back physical evidence. How much time are you dedicating in this to in a day, in a week?
Oh, my gosh. Let me show you my bank account balance. I mean, I get it that, let's see, how much do I have right now? $7.45, which is, I think I got paid recently by Twitter, which is good. It helped because I had a credit card payment that unexpectedly I was like, oh, shit, but it got paid by that. Very good. I look like someone who is at the end of their rope and like desperately clinging onto like a fading idea. Like I don't, but I mean, look, first I accept the risks. And by the way, I am receiving some help. I mean, I'm 38 years old and yet I have a credit card for emergencies provided by my parents. And I don't imagine, I think that they're not happy about this. This is something that I would normally like not use, but like recently, when I needed to buy like $100 of groceries, you know, bought ramen and stuff, that came in very handy. And I have gotten a bit of other assistance, but man, I think when people think that they are enabling something that may be someone losing their mind, then they're feeling that, yeah, they should not enable this further destruction. That is a valid point of view, and I am starting to come around to that form of resistance. I get it. I got it. But yes, so this has been my full-time job. And by the way, I am an excellent obsessive person. I mean that in like, you know, kind of a cheeky like I don't have a problem, but like I enjoy working on one thing for many, many hours. I love it. And I think that this may be one of the key things that when these beings observed me and my request, please teach me, I want to learn how to do this stuff, teach me how reality works. They looked at what kind of person I am and who I am aspiring to be, what I want to do. And they saw, this is a person who will put in 30 hours with, you know, 20, let's say 20 hours. I definitely do that at a time with basically no breaks, and we'll do it with unbroken enthusiasm the entire time. This is an insane concept. This is also someone I say, you know how people are talking like, who cares about, you know, like place the journey before the outcome. I think that is a way of settling. This is something for people who are not absolutely dedicated to getting the outcome that they want. I say, fuck the journey, put the outcome first. I mean, actually, I love the journey. I care about the journey very much. But no, the outcome is front and center. So anyway, sorry, I'm right now I'm touting how great I am, which is not a thing I should be doing. But I think that these qualities, let's admit that they do exist. Maybe things where these beings looked at me, my character, and what I'm want to do and could do, and they saw that I'm sincere about all of this and that I will put everything on the line, perhaps to a fault. I will do every single thing it takes, even if it kills me. I mean, I shouldn't do that and won't do that, but metaphorically I'll do every single thing it takes. Like, if there were a good enough reason to do something that were to result in, you know, like, my point
is, you work your fingers with a bone, but you don't literally mean you're going to keep working until your skin wears away and you see bone. But hey, at some point, I'm going to stop because it kind of hurts. I'll get some band-aids and come back to it.
If there were a compelling narrative reason to do that, it'd be pretty cool. But you get the idea. They saw that I am a hard worker and that I'm sincere. And they said, yes. I get the impression that if I were not such a weirdly obsessive person who has $7.45 in his bank account right now, they might have said no, knowing that, oh, this is someone who will fold when the times get tough or who won't really see it through. No. I'll do all the things. Yeah. So, yeah.
So you said Twitter pays you, and this is your full-time job. Do you like a Patreon? Do you have a job?
I did until recently. My boss did not like, he objected very fiercely, saying that I only tried it a bit. Like, I was not spending my time on this instead of my regular job. As an independent contractor at the time, I was not fired, but I was, like, not renewed. My boss, when I explain these things, we have a group thing that we do regularly meet. We're friends as well as he was my boss. And I explain these things that I experienced, like, oh my God, I met these entities that used to be alive, the new realm of science. And he said, no, you are not. You are experiencing psychotic delusions brought on by your use of an illegal drug. You get the idea. And he did not renew my employment after that. So
Do you ever consider making your Twitter private or changing your name? Because, I mean, part of like a background check now is everyone's going through social media.
I have been told that I have tentative approval to have a job working for God. I don't think I'm going to have any problem. And if I do, what a great story. And if I, in fact, have something to apologize for, then I will apologize and make amends. But no. I mean, how interesting would it be if I get arrested and then I'm right and I have to be issued a pardon? Let's not, okay, that's more self-important bullshit. But like, I accept the risks. And I've been told by beings who can see the future that this is going to turn out well.
So no reason to doubt that. So I think that they haven't steered you wrong yet. So, you know, why would you start doing that now? That's part of the problem that people have with, I guess, like true faith. And then, you know, dealing with the current reality that we're in, like, well, hey, I'm being told that I need to follow this path. You know, it's not leading you off a cliff, maybe a metaphorical cliff, but it's not leading you. Hey, when Alexa tells people make a left in the ocean and then people make that left in the ocean, like, why did you do that? Like, how didn't you see the ocean? Like, you don't have that.
You raise some very good points here, which is like, what? So we're going to silence skepticism. We're not going to ask questions. And like, how do we even know that I can trust these beings? Like, what if this is like an elaborate con? Or what if they're sincere, but like they're thinking like they can use me more than I can use them? Though actually, that's exactly what I want. That's the whole point of this, is to be maximally useful. Yes, that's exactly what I want. But I want to be colleagues with them. Like, when I presented the idea to the gatekeeper, I was not told no. Like, just the past couple of days, I had a talk where I was like, hey, you know, this is what I'm thinking. Like, is this what's going to happen? I want to work with you for decades, centuries. And I was not told no. So let's see, where was I? Oh yeah, how do we know that I can trust them and the things that they're saying? I have witnessed things that, like, if I walked in the street and a truck drove by, I would report to you that a truck drove by, and I would feel confident enough in my perception of that that I trust it to be the case, and you'd feel confident enough that I haven't, you know, gone completely mad, that you might trust my reporting of that. So I've experienced these things here and there, such as weird things about time and events, like the things that I'm telling you, to some extent, I wouldn't be just telling them if they were like secondhand. I've experienced these things sometimes a lot, or sometimes just a little bit here and there, like the time stuff. But they seem just so obviously factually accurate that then when I'm told, or it's indicated to me, that things are supposed to work a certain way, or that these rules work a certain way, I am at this point of trusting. And by the way, I have been attacked and pranked by all kinds of hostile, malevolent entities including like there are some entities who appear, it's like this fun thing they do is they prank or, you know, troll and sometimes try to terrify or attack beings who are, you know, less like not able to defend themselves against this. It's like gangs of like ne'er-do-wells. And I have been attacked plenty by things like that. And sometimes they're so good that I have to hand it to them. Like, you really got me. You are a good troll. So it's not like I'm blindly trusting all these entities that I encounter. It's like I have found a collection of what seem to be, you know, just absolutely lovely beings. And then I'm having these face-offs against demons and djinn and aliens and all kinds of stuff. Yeah. Yeah. Does that answer your question?
No, it definitely does. How do you have a Patreon? Like, how can people support you?
Oh my gosh. Well, I've posted my Venmo a few times and I've said, hey, look, I'm out of money. Look at my bank account balance. And there has been zero response to this. Not a single person. In fact, a couple days ago, I even said, hey, if you will send me $200 now, as soon as I can afford it, I will send you $1,000 back. This is for me to buy my essential work materials, DMT. I didn't mention that, like, I didn't say, by the way, which is an illegal drug, which would be a very good reason for people to not want to do this. But I don't know to what extent that calculation would enter into their figure. But the point is that no one took me up on that either. There have been a whole bunch of things like this. I could take the time to create a Patreon, but I suspect that no one would contribute to it. Or at least, you know, a few people would contribute like $1 a month. The thing is that I get it. I wish that people would, I mean, a lot of people joined this new Discord community, which is extremely helpful. But it seems like, first, people don't want to enable something, and people want to be part of a success, not a failure. So the moment that this actually begins to have the signs of like, this is going to be big. I mean, let's you and I admit, maybe we don't put this on the record, but like, we all know that every single person is going to not only be interested, but I mean, I don't know, is it immoral for me to suggest that many people will probably act like they were there all along? I think that they might. And you know what? People. Part of being magnanimous, I think, is coming to terms with that. And instead of being bitter about it, asking, okay, this is how it is. How can we put this to best use in doing something good with it? So I've been trying to, when I think about the friends where like I asked them just for moral support, and then they pointedly in recent months, they've told me in like an unkind way, like that seems like it's trying to be a personal insult that they're not going to talk to me. It's almost like they, not only are they cutting things off with me, but they're trying to damage me on the way out to hinder my ability to complete to achieve my goal. This is, by the way, this is not that common a thing, but it's like, I've been thinking like when this is demonstrated to be true, how do I want to deal with this? And I just, in the past few days, I've received some instruction suggesting that miracles are easier to make happen when you are acting in a righteous way, not self-righteous, but in an actual righteous way. Plus, there are these three values I've been instructed are the most important. Number one is love. Number two is gratitude. And number three is togetherness. Isn't that interesting? I don't recall hearing those in that order, you know, previously in my life, but I was instructed. I don't know if these are official or like, but anyway, I was instructed about that. So with these things in mind, I'm trying to learn how to do miracles correctly. And I need to be righteous. And there are other reasons to believe that I'm not supposed. There are reasons to believe that this stuff will work. And there are these three values that should guide me when I'm in doubt about what to do. So I have been contacting these people again to kind of offer like an olive branch and be like, hey, you know, just so you know, I think you're great and hope you're doing well. And, you know, I mean it. It took a lot for me to mean it, but I mean it. And I will absolutely, should this stuff be demonstrated to be true, and I'm basically 100% sure it soon will be, I will be glad to engage with them again.
No, I, yeah. That's good. It's tough, man. You're in this independent world of doing research. Even as you keep doing it, you seem sober-minded as you're talking about it. So it's not like, oh, you know, I didn't know you before. I just met you now. So it's not like, oh, I miss the old Ben. Oh, I miss this. Maybe they don't appreciate the number of conversations about the DMT world that, you know, you find interesting and maybe they don't. But like, you know, you can also.
Oh, well, I'm constantly talking about this stuff on my Twitter, but I don't think I'm no, it's not a case where I'm dominating conversations about it. It's more like I tell them that I'm doing it at all. And certain people think that they're witnessing the downfall of her, you know, a person ruining their life. Like, imagine if I were doing PCP every day or heroin every day. And I was like, you got to try this heroin. It's the best thing ever. Like, I kind of get it, you know?
Yeah, you look healthy on camera. So, I mean, you know, again, I didn't know you before, but, you know, you start seeing heroin, you start seeing like meth faced people and, you know, like the skin's all pocked and they're picking at it and you're itching the whole time. Like your movements are very deliberate. You're not, you know, jerky. You're not doing, you know, like weird things. But, you know, I also get that people would say, hey, that's illegal. And, you know, I don't really want that in my life or to know you on the downfall of it.
Right.
And that's tough because you're trying to sit here and bring something better, which other people have explored. And I just don't know if they've tried to put the scientific method to it.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, a lot of people think that you can't do that. They think that the, and also I keep doing these experiments that have, they don't succeed. They fail. And I think what other people are seeing is this sort of like a scrambling to maybe to prop up the narrative or something. But no, I mean, I think this is exactly how it's supposed to work. Like, okay, we design a better experiment. We ask, do we need to revisit the premise? Like, maybe we need to ask, will this work? Maybe it won't. But like, we design better experiments. This is exactly what we're supposed to be doing. But other people are seeing this and like, they're like, oh no, it's like he's becoming obsessed. You know, he can't let it go. Like, there are all kinds of reasons. Yes, I get it. I get it. Yep.
Yeah. I would recommend that you put up a Patreon and that people can just support you in any way. And then also look into merchandise or something where you don't have to be exactly active, but people could buy a Ben Landis experiment t-shirt or like, I support Ben Landis or whatever it is. There's print on demand places that just ship, you know, whatever you end up calling your Discord server, you know, for your little community, like they can at least purchase a t-shirt and you get a couple bucks on the back end. And at least that helps you out somewhere so you can continue.
Yeah.
This. Without having to
wait. That is an extremely good idea. I think I will probably do that.
Yeah, I can. I'll shoot you a text on the company that I use, just as all drop shipping and things like that. I store no merchandise at my house and you can make a billion things and it's relatively easy.
Yeah, I'd love that.
You'd make a greater profit by storing it, you know, t-shirts in your garage or whatever, but mm-hmm. I'm also have no desire in having 100,000 t-shirts and going to the post office
right.
Like every day. Like, no thanks. Like, let them handle it all and, you know, see you can do. Also, start writing a diary, do self-publishing through Amazon or something. Let people sit here and read this or put together some of your thoughts on this. And you have a book there too. Just other ways to get income coming in. So as long as you want to go after this, you can.
Yeah. Well, I have this DMT experiences journal, but I'm not charging in any way. I was thinking about maybe a Substack, but I don't know. That might be placing the emphasis in the wrong thing. But you are right that there are these avenues to explore. And if my bank balance is like $7, then I gotta be doing something. So, yeah.
Hey, The Rock was down to $7 and now he's worth $7 billion, man. Don't, you know, you can do it. Mm-hmm. All right. Where can people follow you?
Oh, twitter.com/Ben Landis. And yeah, so there's Twitter. And I'm also on Facebook. I mean, if you search Ben Landis, if you Google me, you'll find me. And I have music. I have history as a musician. You'll find my music if you Google me as well. Please join the Discord server. That is this delightful new thing where this is now becoming a collaborative effort. And I want to reemphasize that please be a part of this. Join the effort. This is a group effort and we would love to have you. Please contribute.
Ben, I appreciate your time. I will let you know when this comes out. Thank you so much. And I hope you have a great day. And good luck in your experiments, man. I've got faith in you.
Hey, it's great talking to you.
All right. Take care, Ben. I'll see you later.
Bye.
Bye.
All right, everyone. That was our show. Don't forget to leave a review on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you stream your podcast. Like and follow the podcast on Facebook and Instagram to stay up to date on all things wild and weird. Check out the links in the show notes for more information on our guest. The biggest support you can offer is to tell everyone about the podcast. Until next time.